Well, good to be with you this morning. I hope your week has gone well and that you have been just connected to Jesus and in your steps and in your walk with him. And last week, we entered into Lent. And so Wednesday was the start of Lent, and we began to read the Psalms together. And Lisa put something great together for us as a community that we can kind of read together and be in this together as we walk in repentance toward the cross. And so we want to just encourage you one more time. If you haven't picked one of these things up, please pick one of these up. You can also join our reality reading. Pastor Travis last week talked about the soils of our heart. He talked about the Word of God and how the soils of our heart actually matter. And when we are being washed over by Scripture and where our hearts are being, our soil of our hearts are being changed, that we can grow in the reality of what God has for us. And so just want to encourage you, just keep encouraging you to allow the Scripture to be a part of your life, be a part of your daily routine, and to cultivate the soil of your heart. Before we get going today, let's just pray. Father, we come before you, and we are just thankful. We're grateful followers of you. And today, as we open your Word, and we just understand a little bit more about who you are, a little bit about more about the world in which we live, and God, that you meet us, and you're in the boat of whatever we're going through, wherever we're at today. And God, I just ask that you would be glorified through what we talk about, and that our hearts would receive what we need from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I used to lead trips to the boundary waters of Minnesota and then also into Canada. And so one of the things that I would do is I would take students, college students out, high school students out, and we would go out there and we would spend a week just in the wilderness. And one of the activities, one of the things that we were doing in there is we allowed Scripture to be a part of that journey. And so every day we would have this time where we would have quiet time. And we would, before we got going on our canoe adventure for that day, we would have this reading and we would just allow the Scripture to read over us. But one day of the week that we were out there, we would have these solo times. And what I would do is the day before, the night before, I would go out and I would figure out different little islands out there, because there's little chunks of rock, they're not very big, that I would put a student on. And one of these students would be over here, another student would be over there, and we would give them like 4 hours of a solitude. Some of them, this drove them crazy. I remember one kid yelling, "Help," and I had to go get him, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And he tried to grab my canoe because he was going crazy, and he was by himself for 4 hours. And it was just, it was one of those times where we really wanted, you could bring your Bible, you could bring water, and you could bring something to sit on. But it was a time for you. You could explore the island, you could walk around the island, you could pray. And so I was preparing for that day. I was preparing for the islands that I would put these students at. And we were in this bay, we were camping, and we were in this bay. And the wind was a little bit picked up, not terrible. And so I came out of the bay. I came out in a Kevlar canoe, which is a very light canoe. And I was paddling by myself. It was early in the morning. And I paddled out of this bay and into this bigger lake where all of these islands were. And I got just a little bit out away from the bay, and the wind picked up. And this was like waves are now starting to come over the canoe. And it's blowing this way, and I'm trying to go this way. Well, one of the things in canoeing is it's really hard to go this way if the waves are going this way. This is how you capsize. And so I'm trying to kind of angle this thing, but the problem is I'm in a Kevlar canoe. And the front end is so light, it's just pushing me. And it's pushing me. I'm out in the middle now. And there's no one else up. There's no one else to yell for. I think, oh no, I'm gonna flip this thing. So I ride it out. And I just let the kind of the waves, I kind of go with the waves, and there's an island way in the world over there. And I make it to this island. And now I'm coming up to this island, but there's not a good place to to put the canoe in, and you can't slam these canoes in because it's going to put a hole in this very, very expensive canoe. And it's pushing me toward these rocks. And so I jump out, and it's about up to here at this point, and I get the canoe to the shore, and I'm like, what am I going to do? There's no way I can get back. There's no way that I can paddle back through this thing. And I'm trying to think, well, what am I going to do? So what I do is this. I take this big, huge rock, and I put it in the front of the canoe. And it stabilizes the canoe. It stabilizes the ability to now, I didn't go straight into the wind again. I kind of went around and went toward the shoreline because I thought if I flip, it's a lot easier to swim, 50 yards instead of 250 yards. And I began to make my way back into that. But in the midst of that, I was trying to make this thing work. I thought I was going to die. I thought I'm going to flip over in the middle of this lake. And, it's cold, the water is. It was in June, and June in the boundary waters, the water's cold. And I thought, man, there's no way I'm going to make it. And the fear started to come over me. The story we're going to look at today is there was a rock in the boat. There was somebody in the boat. His name was Jesus, but there was a huge storm. They didn't know what to do. This is a very familiar, probably, story to many of you, but it's a story of the disciples and their quest to go across the water, across to the other side, and a big storm coming up. Let's just read it in Mark chapter 4. It says this. That day when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Remember how the book of Mark is kind of laid out. The book of Mark in the first 8 chapters answers, who is Jesus? Mark 9 through 16 answers, what did he do? Who is he? What did he do? The first 8 chapters show us that Jesus is a person with all power, with all authority. He's King Jesus. All things bow down to his rule and his reign. Weather, sickness, death are not a big deal for Jesus, his reign and his power. Knowing who Jesus is, because we've seen before, like Jesus is healing people. He's casting out demons. There's power that he has. In this, we see a storm being calmed. In the story, Jesus is continuing his teaching ministry. And Jesus and his guys are going across the Sea of Galilee and they encounter this great storm. On the Sea of Galilee, what happens is it's below sea level. And so the sea is below sea level and then you have mountains that are around it. And so you have warm air from the sea coming up and hitting cold air. And boom, there is a storm and it comes quickly and it comes fast. But remember who these guys are. These guys who are rowing this boat, they would be, if they were here today, they would be on Deadliest Catch, right? Like these are seasoned, some of them are seasoned fishermen. They have seen these storms before. They have fished this water before. But in this moment, in this time, they're scared. They're scared that they're going to drown. This wasn't just a little storm. This was a doozy. And they look to Jesus, and what is he doing? Just enjoying the ride. He's sleeping. He's just sleeping. He's just there. A storm of this magnitude. And these veteran sailors, they're scared and they look to Jesus and he's sleeping. And what do? They go, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? that we're about to drown? Do you not care? This leads me to the first question I want to ask. What is this storm? What is this storm? And it's a literal storm. It's a reality. But what is this storm that they were facing? What is the storm that you and I face? Teacher, do you care that we're perishing? This is the essence of every storm in our life. It's the essence in the question that we ask. It's anything and everything that causes us to go and ask this question. God, don't you care? Don't you care? It's anything and everything that causes us to question God and ask him, do you not care? We're about to drown here. The boat's about to go down. So maybe you're going through something right now and there's a storm in your life. And you feel like you're sinking, you feel like God's sitting on a cushion in the back of the boat sleeping, and you're like, what's going on? Don't you care? Don't you care that I got this news from the doctor? It's shocking news. Don't you care that maybe the storm of your life is like your spouse has come to you and says, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore? Maybe it's a storm that you go, man, I just lost my job. And you're like, God, do you not care? The storm could be a tragic accident. It could be this general sense of numbness. You just are going, man, I wish I had a storm. I just wish I had a storm so that I could just feel something, because I feel nothing right now. God, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care that I feel nothing? Maybe it's a storm that it's just darkness is just over you and you just can't shake it. There's this gloom in your soul and you just can't shake it. Maybe it's a storm of loneliness. Maybe it's a storm that you're realizing you're getting old and your body is hurting and you're going, God, why? Like, I can't do what I used to do and I have pain inside of me. And man, God, what? Like, do you not care? Do you not care? A storm is anything and everything that causes you to question, God, do you not care? Don't you care that I'm dying here? Don't you care that I'm perishing? The disciples are saying, if you loved me, you loved us. You did not let us go through this. If you loved us, we would not be about to be cast into the sea. If you loved us, you wouldn't put us in such danger. We ask the same question. We do. We ask the same question that they were asking in the midst of this. God, if you loved us, why are you letting us go through this? Storm is anything and everything that makes us question, does God care? Mark says this. Jesus responds to it, and he got up and he rebuked the wind. This is verse 39. And he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He says, Jesus says, peace, be still. And it happens. Think about this for just a moment. If you've ever been in a storm, I love watching storms come off of Lake Superior. It's just big. It's ominous. It's like it's coming and you can see it. The waves are coming. The wind starts. And what happens? That storm comes in and the waves get big. But when that storm goes away, it's not instantaneous that the waves are gone. It's not instantaneous that the waves are gone. But in this text, how this is written, the words that are used is this, that Jesus gets up and he says, hey, peace be still, and it is calm as glass. This is a miraculous thing. This is bigger than the wind's just dying down and we're now just kind of doing this. It's calm in this moment. And man, this is, we have some pictures of this. Like, this is what they were facing on the right. This is what happened when Jesus said this. It totally came, totally different. In an instant, this happens. In an instant, this moment that the waves, the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus' command. And you might go, well, how did this happen? How did the winds and the waves, how did it obey, or why did it obey? Let me tell you something about the winds and the waves. They knew that voice. They knew the voice of Jesus. This is Creator God. Jesus was there when they were put into motion. Jesus was there. The voice of God spoke them into existence. They were just obeying Creator God, the one who had created them, the one who had set them into motion. They understood, they recognized, and they were obedient to their Creator. That's the wind and the waves. He's God. Even the wind and the waves are under his rule. I think there's another picture, another piece of this that I think is really amazing in this passage. It's how Jesus wakes up. Jesus was there in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, he rebukes the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus is in the back of the boat. He's asleep. Can you imagine being in a storm so great that you are think you're going to die, and the person that you know, your friend over there, is taking a nap? I think I'd be irritated just a bit. If I'm scared, I want everyone else to be scared around me. Right? That's just kind of how we are, right? If I'm feeling this anxiety and this fear, I want everyone to feel. I want him to wake up. I want him to feel this. His disciples concluded one thing. They concluded, Jesus, he's over there taking a little siesta, and they go, Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't care because he's indifferent about their troubles. But Jesus sleeping is not a display of his indifference. Jesus sleeping is not a display of his indifference. It's Jesus is sleeping. Is he knows who he is. He knows that he is God. He knows that he is in complete control in this moment. He knows that the wind and the waves will obey him. He knows who he is. He has no fear. He has zero fear in the midst of this. I was out fishing with my dad and his friend. I was 9 years old. And if you knew me at that time, I got motion sick in an instant. The waves could be like this big and I'd be motion sick. That's just how I was built. It's how I am. I don't have that anymore. And I can tell you my recipe at a different time of how I got over that. But in those days, I mean, driving to Copper Harbor, the lights going like this, I'm going to throw up. It's just how it's just how I was built. And so we're out. We got up really early in the morning for this trip, and we're going out to the big lake, and I was hoping we were going to catch the Old Nessie of Lake Superior, right? I'm excited. I'm 9 years old. My imagination is huge at this point that we're going to do this. And we get out there, and it's a little wavy, and I'm a little sick at this point. And so what I think in my head, well, there's a cabin in there. I'll just go in there and sit in there. Let me tell you, that was not the best idea. So I go in there, and I feel like just sweat starting to come. And I have to go out because I need to chum the waters. You understand what I'm saying here? And so I go out, and I chum the waters. That's what happened, and I felt a lot better. Until I look over at my daddy and his friend, and they're in the back of the boat. No one's driving the boat at this point, and we're stopped, and the waves are going like this. And I look over to them, and they have fear on their face. We're not moving. And I'm like, what's going on? And so I ask the question. I can see it on their face. They're scared. We're out in the middle of Lake Superior, an inland sea. This is no lake. This thing, it doesn't give up. It's the ones who go down. And I'm thinking, why are they scared in this moment? And I look to the ones who should be in control, and I see fear on their face. What had happened was our lead steel lines had caught in the propeller of the motor, and we couldn't get back in, and the winds and the waves were getting bigger. I was scared, not because the waves were big, because the ones who were supposed to be in control were scared. In this picture, in this moment, The disciples, Jesus is sleeping. The one who is in control, the one who they know, the one that they know as teacher, he's not scared. He's not scared that they're about to perish because he knows who he is. He knows what's going on in the midst of this. The creator of the universe was sleeping on the stern. He was in the boat with them and he was completely calm. The disciples should not have been scared. Remember that whatever storm that you go through, Jesus is in the boat with you and he is perfectly in control and he's perfectly calm. It's not by his surprise. He doesn't have anxiety in the storm of your life. He doesn't have anxiety about what's happening in the world today. So the raging storm is not what woke Jesus up. What wakes Jesus up? The cries of the disciples. The cries of the disciples that he loved and cared for. The storm is of no consequence to the Savior of the world, to the Creator of the world. When the storm comes, he's not worried. He's sleeping. When we start panicking in the storms of our life, he's not panicking. He's not worried because he's in control. There is not a single storm that we face in our lifetime that Jesus is not completely in control over. But the moment in our weakness, in our panic, and our faithfulness, we cry out to Jesus, he instantly hears and he responds. He is ever ready to hear our prayers and come to our aid. And now it might not be how you think. And it doesn't matter if our prayers, and this is the interesting part, because their prayer is an accusation. Our prayers, no matter how faithless our prayers are, no matter how accusing our prayers are, he is our ever-loving help in our times of trouble. So in the midst of your storm, don't forget to cry out to Jesus. That's one of the things the disciples got right. They cry out to Jesus. They cry out to him, don't you care that we're perishing? But I think they miss and we miss the reality that Jesus isn't here just to calm our storms. He's there to be with us in the storm. And remember, he might not always answer how we want him to, but he will always answer in the way that we need. Jesus might not call me out of the storm today. It might not be until the day you leave this earth that he calls you out of the storm. But he will live in the midst of that storm. He will be in the boat with you in that storm. In the text, Jesus is his care for the disciples at first glance is this: peace be still, and he calmed the storm. That's our first initial reaction to the text is, man, Jesus cared because he calmed the storm. But if you read this in the context of this passage, that storm that they were going through was preparatory. That storm was a preparation for them because they were going to have some other storms in their life. If you read in chapter 5 and chapter 6, there's some other things that are happening. They're going to an island. There's going to be demons there. And they're being prepared in the midst of this to be able to face some other trials. But in the midst of this, if you look at this, can we go to the next text up there? No, not that one. Go look. Give me the whole passage. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And you're like, they called upon your name, Jesus. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they called upon your name. They called upon who you are. And you go, why does he say you have no faith? Here's the deal. The storm, Jesus, if he's in control of everything, he could have stopped the storm. He didn't have to allow the storm, but he allows the storm to come in. Now, I'm not saying that God, every bad thing that happens, that God is causing that. He's not causing all of those things, but he does allow things. There's a difference between those two things. So he could have stopped that storm. If the wind and the waves, if they obey him, he could have stopped that storm. But he chose not to. He chose to allow them to experience that. And what did that experience reveal in them? It revealed something of their hearts. He says, why are you so afraid? Well, we're about to die, Jesus. That's my answer, right? Like, that's why I'm afraid, and you were sleeping, right? But then he says something else. Do you still have no faith? What does it reveal of their hearts? It reveals their hearts are not totally faithful. There's unfaithfulness in their hearts. They do not understand who's sitting in the boat with them. They do not understand who Jesus is. They do not understand in the midst of the storm that he is the creator of the world. And whether they perish in that water or they don't, he is still in control. He is still with them. He is still there. And that the storm didn't cause their unfaithfulness. The storm revealed their unfaithfulness. Think about that for just a moment in the storm that you're in when we cry out, oh, Jesus, why are you not here? Where are you at? Are you sleeping in the midst of this? Like, what is it revealing of our hearts? Could be some unfaithfulness in our hearts that we don't trust him. If the one who controlled the wind and the waves, if he can control all of that, can he not use a storm in your life for his good and for your good? That's what the Bible tells us, that he's working for our good. When we think of that, we think of our happiness and our prosperity. But what if, just what if? What if the good that he's working in us and through us is that we need this storm in our life so we can understand God's goodness, so we can understand and move in a direction toward him? What if that is what he's doing in the midst of that? What if it is so our hearts are not, it reveals the unfaithfulness of our hearts, the lack of trust of our hearts. What if that's what he's doing in the midst of that? See, they had a high view of Jesus. They had a high view of Jesus. What do they call him? They call him the disciples. They wake him up and they say, hey, teacher, right? So it's not like they didn't know who he was at some level. They knew that he was rabbi. They knew that he was teacher. But guess what? They're about to go through some things that are much bigger than a wavy storm, right? It was much bigger than that. And Jesus was preparing them for something else. He was preparing them in the midst of this. What if God, while he is the Lord of the storm, he has power over that. Do we believe and do we hold to this idea that God can also use the storm for our good? To prepare us to walk through something. Because there was a bigger concern that Jesus had. He had a bigger concern for the disciples, not only for their ministry. Remember, these are the apostles. These are what his church is built on. He had a concern about that, but he also had a concern for their hearts that it wouldn't be just an earthly perishing. It would be an eternal perishing. He had a concern about that. There's some unfaithfulness, and he was rooting that out. Wouldn't you rather have a storm where you're going, man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to live or die in the midst of this, and that God used that in your life. I used to do this activity with people. We called it the poster board challenge. And what we would do in the poster board challenge was this. We would take seasons of your life, and you would talk about some of the good things and some of the bad things. And you would have a different color for the bad things. And you would go through like childhood, you go through preparation type thing, high school, college age type of thing. And then you'd go and you would go into the next section of this of your life and, you know, depending on how old you are, right? So some of it would take a little bit of time. For some people, it would take a long time, right, to get through all those things. But in each season of life, you would have, let's just say, the good things were blue, the bad things or the things that were storms, if you will, in your life were pink. And then we would ask one question. Look at all of those things, and we would ask, what was God teaching you in the midst of that? And almost always, it wasn't God teaching you through the good things. It was through the difficult things. It's just like a sports. If you're in sports, if you play something, there's a struggle in the practice. There's a struggle in the endurance that you're building. There's a struggle in that. But why? So you can play the game. You can run the race. What Jesus was preparing them for was to run the race. We have faith that Jesus, they had faith that Jesus could stop the storm. But did they have faith that Jesus could use that to change their perspective, to take out that unfaithfulness? That's what he's saying in the midst of this. There's a passage in Luke. Let's go to that passage in Luke. And I just love this passage. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that you have faith, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. I love this passage of scripture because there's this picture of, in the midst of the storm, what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to take your faith. He's trying to pull that out of you. He's trying to sift that out of you. He's trying to increase your unfaithfulness, your trust in the only one who can truly save you. And in this it says, but I have prayed for you. And I imagine Jesus praying for us in the midst of our storm. He's in the boat with us and he's praying. Don't let their faith go. Let it increase. Let it increase. And the reality is we know this to be true. In this world, we're going to have trials. That's what the Bible says. And what do those trials do? They prove our faith. They put it into a fire, right? They put it into a fire and they purify it to make sure that it's genuine and true. I don't want to get to the pearly gates of heaven and go, Jesus, I did this in your name. I did this in your name. And he go, no, sir, I don't even know you. Away from me. And so some of the storms of our life are there to prove the genuineness of our faith, because there we don't have that choice. We don't have, there's no proving anymore. And so some of the storms, I'm not saying everything that is bad that's happened, but can our faith grow in that? It is very fertile ground, your faith in the midst of the storm, for it to grow in who God is. It's also very fertile ground for this, for Satan to steal your faith. Exactly what Pastor Travis was talking about last week, these different grounds, these different soils, that Satan, the devil, comes and he snatches it. Well, what's the big deal in the midst of this? What's the picture? He got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, be quiet, be still. The disciples say, he says to him, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He says this, and then it says this. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Do you see the unfaith? Do you see the lack of understanding they had of who was sitting in the boat with them? Who was in the boat with him? They didn't totally understand. They understood him as teacher. They understood him as rabbi. They understood certain things about him. But they did. There was some unfaith, and that storm revealed it. It didn't produce it. And Jesus roots that out of them in the midst of this. Because there's things that were going to happen. There's things that were going to happen. Where we lack faith, and I'm guilty of this too, where we lack faith is that we don't always believe that God can use the storm for our good. And yet the scriptures tell us this, that he's working for our good. I want to end with this. It's a story of the Old Testament. And it's really this movement, and this is what I want to leave you with today, is this idea. How can our fear in the midst of the storm be moved from fear into faith and trust? Like, how can we move it from there? Because the reality, sometimes when you get that doctor's notice or you get this in your life, you're going, man, I'm a little nervous about this. I'm scared. Where are you, God? Like, why are you not taking this away? Why are you not calming the storm in my life? Why did you even allow this thing? And those are the questions that are running through us in the midst of this. But how can we move from those questions into a question of faith and trust in the one who's in the boat with us? Well, this story mirrors an Old Testament story. Does it sound familiar to any of you, this story of somebody in the boat and the seas being calmed? It's the story of Jonah. It's the story of Jonah in the Old Testament, and this mirrors, and you kind of go, well, like, you see this text and you go, well, they're in a boat. Jonah was sleeping. The waves got really big, right? And it got really difficult in the midst of this thing, and you see this. And then Jonah comes out, and he knows what's happening. He knows why the storm is there. He knows why what's going on in the midst of this. Remember, he's running away from the Ninevites. He was told to go and to have this conversation about repentance to the Ninevites, and he hated the Ninevites. He didn't like the Ninevites, and he said, "No way, I'm not going there. I'm going over there." And he runs in the opposite direction, and the wrath and the fury of God come upon him, and the waves come, and it's going to take everybody out. And Jonah realizes this after they wake him up. He realizes, and he says to the other sailors, he's like, "Unless you throw me in, unless you sacrifice me, throw me into the water, and the waves will calm down." And so they take him, and they're like, "Well, we don't have any other options." And they chuck him into the water, right? And what happens? It calms down. And you go, well, there's the difference. They didn't chuck Jesus into the water, right? Like that, there's the difference. There's the difference. But if you think about that story, the wrath and the fury of God coming and the condemnation coming upon them in that moment. Think about Jesus. Not in this story, but it's leading up to the story where we throw him over the boat. He goes to the cross for you and I. Every one of your sins, every one of my sins are placed upon him. And there is no way to calm the storm of God's wrath, the storm of all of the fury of God because of sin coming down on humanity. There's no way to do it. And what does Jesus do? He is a willing participant to go to the cross for you and I. We throw him over the boat, and on the cross, his blood being shed, he says, "It is finished." And guess what? The storm is calmed. The storm is calmed for you and for I. The one who took it all for us. If he was there in calming that storm, why would he not be in the storm? Why would he be not in the storms of your life now? Why would you not trust him in the midst of the storms now? If he was there in the biggest storm of your life, it wasn't just a temporal storm. It wasn't just in this life, but it was for eternity. All of God's fury, all of God's wrath that was coming on you. This is what the scriptures say. It says that we were enemies of God, that his wrath was coming upon us, and Jesus went to the cross for you and I. The only storm, we could not solve it. We could not paddle through it. We could not do anything to accomplish it. It wasn't by our works, but by his works. The one who knew no sin became our sin for our salvation. The one who was that eternally affected our whole trajectory of life, calmed the storm. And guess what? There is not a ripple. If you are in Jesus, this is what the Bible says. There's not a ripple. There's not a wave. There is no wrath of God coming upon you. You are totally free. You are smooth sailing because you now have a relationship with God. Amen? If he was there in that storm, if he was willing to go to the cross for you and I, why would he not be willing to be in the boat with you in the storm that you have? Will you trust him? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And I just think of the song that was been sung for many years. The song that says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." That is only true, God, if we believe that you are in the boat with us in the midst of the storm, and that you are working for our good in the midst of the storm, and that you worked for our good. And we're just thankful today for that. God, give us faith to believe in the midst of the storm that you are with us, that you are with us. We pray this in the powerful name of your Son that you sent for us. Amen.